To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. All right. I had such a great time interviewing this particular woman, Valentina Osinski, that we're doing a part two because we didn't finish covering the things that we wanted to cover. And so what we're going to talk about, well, let me just do a quick rundown of what we talked about last time, and then I will let you know the cool stuff that we're going to be doing today. So we talked about being a creative, but being a successful creative, a financially successful creative, which many have a difficult time with. And so that is what we talked about, and her different revenue streams from real estate to music and all the other things that she has going on. But today, we are talking about getting into state. And Valentina, welcome back to the show. But define what I mean by that. What do you mean by going into a state?
Well, the general definition of state is your beingness, your current frame of mind, your physiology. For instance, we all can recognize if we're feeling excited, there's a certain physiology, there's a certain frame of mind that goes along with that. Like you're feeling really positive, your body has a lot of energy. You might feel even like shaky sometimes. I've been so excited, I've been shaking. Then you have, you know, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum where you're really feeling low in your state. You're feeling down about your life, or something is emotionally troubling you. And generally it's in your physiology. You could be kind of literally like drooping and talking like this. And what's so interesting about all of this, which is based on the thing I've learned from NLP and Tony Robbins, et cetera, is because I'm a performing artist as well, I use my body for things like making music and acting. I need to be in tune with that as my instrument. And so I think as a performing artist, we are naturally a little bit more attuned to state than someone who's not a performing artist. But it doesn't mean it's any less important, because if you are a business person and you are wanting to create some results from making a sales call or making a presentation or creating a marketing plan, what state are you going to be in order to do that in a really high functioning way that you're going to get positive results? And I think that a lot of people generally don't tend to pay too much attention to their state. Like, yes, you will if it's extreme, but there's all this stuff in the middle, right? And so state is so important, because from that is where your outcome and your behavior, your physiology, your emotions, even the language you use or the way you speak will be affected by your state.
Got it. And so we were talking about how, you know, Tony Robbins talks about this, and I have a lot of clients that talk about energy work, which is all similar, right? It's all along the vein. And let's talk about some different ways that we get into, for those of you who are not watching the YouTube video, I'm putting my fingers in quotes, but how do you get into state, and what are ways that we can use it? So you talked about, you know, a sales call, right? Right before you get into a sales call, what are some things that we can do to kind of get us into that energy, get us into that vibe where we can connect with who we're talking to better? We don't have, you know, one thing that I think about with state is that we don't have to think as hard, right? Because you're already in that place, right?
Yes.
Where it just kind of flows out of you. It's more natural. And the person that you're talking to, or if you're talking on stage, they feel it as well. So it's a powerful place to be.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Some different ways to, you know, tips that we can do to kind of have in our pocket before we are approaching something.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to acknowledge is you are absolutely right that when you are in the proper, putting in quotes again, state for the thing that you're going to do, because each thing is going to have a different state requirement. You actually are then in a flow, they call it a flow state, where you're not thinking as hard. It's not, you're not stressing out. You're not in that anxiety place. You're feeling like you're grooving along. And so one of the first things I think that is really useful is starting to recognize, well, what states are the right states for me to be in for the things that I'm doing that I want to achieve a positive outcome. For instance, for me, because I wear different hats, I remember when I was making and recording my album, What Have I Forgotten? And actually the previous albums to that as well, before I would sit down at the microphone and be ready to record, I would do a little ritual for myself. And that would be an example of putting myself into state. And I would, you know, do some circles in my space here, call in my muses. It was a very spiritual thing for me, because that's what works for me to put me in state. Now, of course, I would also do my vocal warm-ups, get my body moving, and do all the things that I know to do as a singer that I need to do, which is, you know, you take a little inventory of your physiology. Is my neck over my shoulders? Is my breathing flute moving in and out? I'm not tight. You do tongue exercises to loosen that, and you bring awareness to your body, because now I'm using that as my instrument. So those were the two things in that particular instance that I would do to put myself into state, my creating a sacred space for creativity, calling in my muses, my inner guides, centering myself spiritually, getting my body warmed up. Okay, now I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to record. I'm ready to bring through what I consider the art as best I can. I would not do that if I were going to now go on a sales call, for instance. It's a totally different thing. So if you're a business owner and you want to make a presentation to somebody, one thing that I think is really useful is start to become aware of the times that it went really well, and think about that and go, so what was I feeling? What was my body feeling? What was I thinking when that went so well? Did I have a specific goal or an outcome in mind? And really start taking like a little inventory of yourself for when it's successful. And I know that we can all think of something that we've done well. And I know for sure we can all think of something we didn't do well.
Very
that's
true.
That's usually easier for us to think of. And it's also a useful thing to take inventory of that. Okay, so what was I not doing? Or what was I feeling that day that whole thing blew up in my face? I was kind of scattered. I remember feeling that way. I remember feeling like I wasn't really present. I was kind of all over the place. I didn't feel very grounded in my calm center, you know, whatever those things could be. Start noticing that for yourself and literally start becoming aware of that in your own life. And you will find, I know you will find, it wouldn't even take long, 5 minutes, examples within your own life. And so then when you're moving forward, when you have something coming up that's important, think back on the times that you really did feel great about something that went really, really well, and recreate that for yourself in your body. I remember I was feeling pretty calm, and I'm freaking out right now. Okay, I'm just going to take, before I pick up the phone, let me just take 3 minutes, just put myself in my body, get calm, and think about what your outcome is going to be. What do you want to achieve from this particular presentation? Why is it so important to you? Why is it? And I think we talked about that last time too, but why is this so important to you? Because usually it's a clue. If you're getting nervous or excited, it's really important to you. And to get in touch with your why, which is really centered in your heart and your soul, and you go into any presentation where you're really connected with why this is so important, and I really want this, I want to serve this person because I know how much this is going to help their business or help their life in true authenticity. I know it. They will feel it. And when you come in with that sort of state, I'm here to serve you. I believe so deeply in what I'm doing, and I'm 100% congruent with my abilities and what this offer is for you. They feel that. you know, you can tell when people walk into a room at a party when they've got that, wow, look at that person. Or, oh gosh, look at that person. They look miserable right now. You know, we're so perceptive. So it really is about setting yourself up for success ahead of time with intentionality of drawing from the past, learning about yourself in the present, and then projecting it into the future with what you want to achieve and what your outcome is.
I think there's so much, not I think, I know there's so much wrapped up in what you just talked about, right? Years ago, we talked about this last time. I used to be so petrified to speak on stage. I would absolutely freak out and then my brain would stay there. Now I notice I get into, without even really thinking about it, I get into a state and I think, you know, I meditate. I think about what I'm bringing for the audience, right? How they're going to feel. And what's cool about that is that it takes it away from me. It's no longer about me. It's right. about them, which is what I love, right?
Right. And that's so, why you're there in the first place, right?
That's why I'm there. Yes. Yes. And so, but take, if it's a something that you're really nervous about, something you haven't done before, if you know that in the past it's kind of not worked out how you wanted, take a long, don't do it in 5 minutes beforehand. Take a week, take 2 weeks, take however long you need to visualize yourself, to meditate, yes. to get yourself grounded, as you mentioned, Valentina. And see yourself being successful. On top of that, I know I've heard many times, or I've also gone through training on how to speak on stage. And I'm using this as an example because I think everyone can relate with speaking on stage. Some people are totally freaked out about it. Some people get fired up by it. They get energized by it, right? So that's why I'm using this example.
That's a perfect example. And it's related to and presenting your business anyway.
Right? It's whatever part of it. Yeah. Whether you're doing a podcast, an interview, whatever it is, but they talked about, you know, in the back of the room doing this pose. It's a power pose. Do you know what I'm talking about, Valentina?
I was literally going to talk about the power pose.
It's a thing. It's a thing. I can't say that I personally have done it, but I've been hearing quite a bit about it. So why don't you tell us more about it?
I just can't believe every time we talk, we have a synchronicity. That's what I can't believe. I literally just got reminded of it because of my recent working with Tony Robbins last week, and he brought it up, and there's actually literally research done on the physiology of the power pose. So the power pose is really like a superhero pose, and you basically just stand as if you were Wonder Woman, you know, how she stands. She's got her hands on her hips, and you put one leg in front of the other. Can't really see it on this YouTube video, but, and you just stand like Wonder Woman, and you only need to do it for 2 minutes. And already the physiology of that causes your cortisol levels to drop. It causes your ability to assume some risk to go up. It's a good thing because you like, I'm going out on stage. I want to, you know, it's a risk when you're doing these. And it also causes your testosterone levels to increase, which gives you a little bit more aggression in a positive way. And they literally have measured it. You only need 2 minutes to do it. And it causes those physiological changes. And when the physiology changes, it's an immediate state change for your psychology. That's also a known fact. That's why we can literally embody ourselves before we need to do something. Let the wisdom of the body lead the way for you. And that's why if you're, you know, if I'm kind of sitting like this and you're interviewing me right now, do I seem compelling? No. You know,
yeah,
like, and it's so they literally are like a mirror back and forth with each other. You can absolutely start it in your body and it can change your mental state and your emotional state. And I remember so well when I was grieving the loss of my fiance Keith, when he died, and I was in grief as I should have been. You know, I'm not trying to ever say, don't grieve. We need to grieve. And I remember it was about a week in, and I did want to go to the gym because I was a gym goer. I still am, because I wanted to, like, well, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to try. I'm going to get out of the house, you know. And I went to the gym and I was still just sick with grief. And I went to a Pilates class. I started moving my body and I literally could feel, it was almost like a swirl ice cream with chocolate and vanilla. I could feel it swirling in my whole bloodstream, the sadness plus swirling in with the adrenaline that's coming in from the exercise, and starting to feel this weird chemical cocktail of, I'm not feeling depressed anymore. Am I depressed? And then by the end of the workout, I was like energized. And then I did got back to grieving again. But for me, that was a perfect example, very palpable, of how my physiology could just change my state.
I love that you brought that up, because we can practice this, right? I'm not saying that if you've been terrified of speaking on stage, and all of a sudden you're going to go speak in front of 200 people, that you're going to be relaxed and you're going to nail it. Not right. saying that. However, yeah. you can do things to start practicing and building this muscle, right? This mental muscle to help you get into the state that serves you best, depending on whatever you have going on.
Absolutely.
And there's something I was going to bring up with that. And now it's just kind of escaping.
Well, I was talking also about grief. I don't know if the grief was a factor, but feeling, you know.
So what I'm saying is that as you practice it more, you become more aware, right? You become more intentional, and you can yes. tap into it quicker. So that's one thing that I've noticed. You know, I was introduced to this whole concept of energy. So we're talking about the same thing, whether it's state, whether it's flow, whether it's energy, it's all the same idea. But yes. now, like as you were talking about the way that you felt, I'm like, oh yeah, I get that. I get exactly what you're talking about. But 5 years ago, I would have been like, huh? I don't get it, right? But as you practice, as you keep on building up that muscle, it becomes something that you can tap into so much quicker, and it becomes more useful.
Absolutely. And
I want to give one more. I want to share one story of something that I did that is so out of character, not so out of character of me, but the way that I responded was so out of character. I was going through this program called Zero to Dangerous by Stephen Kotler. It's about becoming more productive, like a productive machine, because that's something that's important to me. And I was talking with my coach, and I told him, I said, hey, I am going to jump out of a plane with my kids and, you know, in a week. And can you help me?
Oh my God.
Can you help me get into the right frame of mind so I'm not freaking out? And so he helped me kind of go through an exercise. But really all that it came down to, Valentina, is instead of, I kind of replaced fear with excited. Mm. And what I was excited about was, I know once I do this with my two sons, I'm going to be known as that badass mom. No longer am I going to be that same mom that they knew before. I didn't have 1 ounce of fear. And that's not like me. I'm not, you know, I'll do crazy stuff. I love to snow ski, but not like this. I usually would be very, very scared, but I didn't have 1 ounce of it because it was just replaced with the fear was replaced with the positive, and the positive was so strong that I just did it, right? I did forget to pull the string. So thank God I was in tandem with someone else. So, you know, you got to protect yourself.
So excited. You know what I'm hearing in that story that I love too is identity. What pulled you was your identity of a badass mom. I want to be a badass mom, and this is going to get me there. So you, instead of pushing yourself through the fear, you pulled yourself with the promise of this identity that was really compelling for you.
And can't that be used in business too, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
To get to that next level when you're feeling that kind of that resistance, mm-hmm. you know that you should go meet with such and such who seems scary.
Yes.
Or that you should go make a big investment in mm-hmm. something, but you're feeling resistance, kind of just changing that frame of mind, right? And getting into that new identity.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And it goes back to what we did talk about last week with the creating a possibility around my real estate thing that had blown up in my face. By creating that as my state of I'm creating a possibility to be successful, that was the possibility I created. In that state, then I have a new identity. I've self-identified, I am a successful real estate investor. I am not a real estate investor who failed. So then when you're identifying with that identity, you will act as if how do successful real estate investors behave? They behave with these types of behaviors. And then next thing you know, you are doing that. And I remember, this is reminding me of when I was 7 years old, I was in love with this guy named Malcolm. I was in Dayton, Ohio. He was had a television show. It was a children's show, and he was very handsome and had long, shaggy hair like the 70s, right? And so I got a chance to see him in person at the mall. I was so excited. And I had my sneakers on that had big holes in the toes. I'd worn the toes through, and I was really embarrassed about my holy sneakers, because I'm like, but it's Malcolm. I need to make a good impression. Like, what? A 7 year old. It's so stupid. But anyway, I was so nervous. And I felt so shy about seeing him and so shy about my speakers. And I remember at that age going, but I don't want to be shy. I want to be like amazing, so that when he meets me, he'll just be amazed and think I'm incredible. And so that's what I did. And I remember afterwards literally going, wait a minute, I did that. I just did that for myself. I took note of it for myself, that I was pretending. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you're pretending all the time. I was pretending like I wasn't shy and nervous about the holes in my sneakers. And guess what? I wasn't shy or nervous about the holes in my sneakers. And it seems so simple. It actually is that simple.
It is that simple. Yeah. But it's being aware of it.
Right.
And then having that intention, like, okay, here's what I'm seeing myself, but here's how I want to show up. So how am I going to do this? How am I choosing?
Yes. Yes.
To show up, right? And just getting into, and again, it takes some practice. Although you're seven, but you are used to playing, right? When we're younger, we're creative. We're used to being who we, you know, if we want to be a rock star or
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that same thing. And we all can tap into it. People did not start off famous. They didn't start off successful. They got there a certain way. And sometimes we have to tap into another part of ourselves, which every one of us is capable
Beyonce
of.
Beyonce talks about it. She has
Sasha Fierce.
Yes.
Yeah.
I find that extremely inspiring, because look at her. She's amazing. And even she, who we all think is amazing, had to go and find this part of herself that isn't her every day. She's not amazing every day when she's waking up and, you know, making breakfast for her kids. She's just a mom making breakfast but that's a different being than Sasha Fierce. So right, it really is embracing all these parts of ourselves. And, you know, especially as women, because women do tend to be the caregivers, the mothers, and, you know, there's a lot on our plate, and it's a different role that you're playing.
Yeah.
So you step into that role and be really clear about it when you're doing it.
Yeah, one other thing that, because I think having tools in our toolbox are so helpful. I had a client who contacted me about a year ago, and she was about to get on a plane, and she was having an absolute panic attack. She had gone through a lot of stuff, and she called me. She's like, I can't do this. I can't go to Hawaii. I can't get on this plane. I can't take my kids. She was so scared. She was out of her, you know, it was an out of body moment. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. We did talk for a long time, probably about an hour and a half. And I think we talked a few times. But one thing that I said to her, I'm like, when you go out your door tomorrow, you can leave all these worries in that garbage can next to your door. They'll be there when you come back.
I was going to say, they're going to be there. So you don't need to worry about
them. Yeah, it's all good. They'll wait for you. But you leave them in there. And when you mentally shut that door, it stays there until you get back. And it worked for her. She texted me, her kids had a great time. She had a great time, but she said it to the kids. She's like, okay, we're putting all of our garbage, our mental garbage, in this garbage can as we leave, and we're going to have a great time. And she did. So there's just these tools that you can tap into to help you along those ways. When you feel scared to death, when you feel like you're pushing beyond what's possible, it is possible. But you just got to keep practicing, and you got to keep on tapping into these tools. That's why I love conversations like this.
I do
so
too.
Much.
They remind me, like if I were me listening to this, I'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Or that power pose, I'm going to try that. Little things. And they seem kind of silly. You know, sometimes also I think people feel embarrassed to do these things, and just forget about the embarrassment, because all the great people that we admire have, I know that they have these little things that they do. Tony 100%. Robbins talks about it all the time. Before he goes on stage, he does the whole dog. He jumps on his rebounder. He does his incantations, which I don't know if you're familiar with his incantations.
Yes, I've heard about that. Yeah.
But yeah. And so like there are a lot of people that would think, what's with that guy? And I would say, well, that guy's the most successful coach on the planet. He's fed a billion people. He gets $1 million for coaching and he has a waiting list. So that's what's with that guy.
And I promise he has failed.
Right.
Yeah. He has failed so many times, but if you don't take those leaps, those risks, you won't ever get to where you want. And the show is about taking risks and doing what you need to do to create the life that serves you best and fills you up and makes you freaking proud. So that's why we're here. Valentina, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you?
Well, I have all these multiple personae. Obviously the real estate stuff is just my own personal thing. But my public facing self is the recording artist known as Nymphia, which is Nymphya, named after the Greek nature spirits. And the music I make is artistic pop along the lines of Kate Bush or Peter Gabriel. I also am an author. My latest album and book is called What Have I Forgotten? And it's an entire deep dive into the ancient parts of ourselves that we might have left behind. And almost like a soul retrieval, picking up these aspects of ourselves as we go inward and go relic hunting so that we become fully actualized. That's what the album and the book are about. And having them together, I keep hearing back from my fans that have bought both, how it's this immersive experience, which I love because that's how I designed it. And so to see something that you created and a state that I wanted them to achieve, and then to have feedback that I'm going into these incredible places in my mind and my heart from this music and this book, is there's nothing more rewarding than that, I can tell you right now.
That's awesome. Go check her out. Clearly, she has so many different facets to her. You are phenomenal. So glad we were able to jump on and have another part two to our conversation. And I have a feeling we'll be talking more. So thank you again for spending time with us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, Midori. Thanks for doing this for all of us.